Hey everybody, happy Wednesday. It's Mike here. Before even the ad read, dropping in to remind you that if you're going on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise here in just one short month, we are ready to sell the t-shirts for sail away and for throughout the cruise. You can drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com and scroll down just a little ways under the 12-hour live show information, and you can get the link to order your either blue or yellow Bog Tiki podcast cruise t-shirt, because we're going to have those t-shirt sales going on for the next couple of weeks, and we want you to get in on that right away. So again, great t-shirts for the lowest price possible, and you're going to look great on the podcast cruise. And of course, if you're not cruising with us, hey, you can get in on the fun as well by ordering a t-shirt. Again, drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com, scroll down just a little ways, and you can order your Bog Tiki Be Our Guest Podcast t-shirt and support the Be Our Guest Podcast. Thank you so much. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great team over at virtualmickey.com. They're putting together the great iOS apps that make your Apple device a Disney device. The app that I want you to grab today, right during the show or immediately after, is Theme Park News Disney Edition. We're all looking to see what's going on with the Disney parks and the Disney company as a whole. And this is a free iOS app that will give you both official and unofficial news from the Disney company. Put this on your device and it'll be like a Zeit or Flipboard right there with the Disney news anytime you like it. Again, it's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. It is free and it's from our great friends over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 869 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you and welcome to 12-hour live show week. That's right, this Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern in the morning, we're going live for 12 straight hours to benefit the great folks that work some real magic down in Orlando. They're at Give Kids the World Village. They are angels among us. They truly are. And we're going to get together as a podcast family again this Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, all the way up until 10 p.m. We're going to have lots of guests from around the Disney community and talk to you about great Disney fun and memories for 12 straight hours. We want you to join us again. That's going to be at MagicalMouseRadio.com as well as Mixler.com/BeOurGuestMike. And we'll have all that information over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Lots of great prizes, too. You're going to have a chance to win some excellent, excellent prizes. And the woman that takes care of everything, gets everything squared away. She's working hard this week, pulling her hair out, because that's what we do the week before the 12-hour live show. We have Ricky, who is, you can find her over at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Magically Speaking e-newsletter. Hang in there, Ricky. It's only 4 or 5 days away.
Yep, it's the time to start pulling out my hair and starting to stress. I may need like the Pepto-Bismol, you know, start drinking that just to take shots every few minutes or something. I don't know. I'm not quite there yet. Maybe I will be on Friday or, you know, Saturday, whatever. But I'm excited, getting ready. We've got a lot of great stuff planned for you guys. And, you know, we really are excited to do this year and have everybody, you know, donate to Give Kids the World, because that's the whole purpose of what we do. So super stoked, super nervous, super excited, super everything. So let's get ready for it. But I do want to mention, because I was actually a guest on somebody else's podcast. You heard me right. Someone else wanted to talk to me. So, which is very strange, but awesome. So I was actually on a podcast called Assembly of Geeks. And you can find them at assemblyofgeeks.com. The show actually will come out tonight, Wednesday night. So you'll be able to find it on all of their information. And you can go download it, which, you know, and hear me talk about planning trips to Walt Disney World in the summer, what's coming up for Disney, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's interesting to get to talk Disney on another podcast. I've never done it before.
I know, like, when I'm a guest on other shows, and I love doing that, I love, well, it doesn't really affect you, but I love that I can just, you know, the show's over, you walk away, you don't have to edit, but, you know, you do that every week.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, I do that every week. It doesn't matter to me. But yeah, definitely, if you guys want to, go check out assemblyofgeeks.com and find out more about the show.
Can't wait to check it out. I'll be downloading it for my run tomorrow morning.
Awesome.
All right. Also joining us, we have from makingmagicandmemories.com, Debbie. What's going on, Deb?
Hey, everybody. Oh, my gosh. I just happened to trip over to Hollywood Studios a few days ago. I love the new Great Movie Ride. Of course, I'm a big Turner Classics movie fan. Yes, I love Turner Classics movies. I loved the new Great Movie Ride. Of course, you know, the meat of it, the center part, you know, that's the normal part. But I love the way that they have it all incorporated. When you come into the theater, you actually see a lot of the TCM movies. And Robert Osborne, who is one of the commentators for TCM, he actually speaks a little bit. And so it's really cool how they pull that in. And then just throughout the ride itself, you can hear his voice. And then the very end of the movie, it's an actual, of course, different montage of movies. Some of the same, but you could tell they've actually intertwined a lot more into it. So I'm very impressed. A lot of things that were in the showcases, like Titanic, they had things from, Titanic. Oh, gosh, I can't think of them. There were just several of them that were really cool to look at. And then they had, of course, the pictures when you're first walking in, the visuals where they kind of melt from one show to the other, kind of like a thing. You know how you have like a fudge. I can't think of the words. And it's where you're like seeing a movie poster, and then all of a sudden it blends and it turns into something else, one of those.
Oh.
So it's very, yeah, thank you. And so that's what it kind of does that a little bit. So it was really cool. And of course, a lot of them, they were Turner Classic movies. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. The lines were crazy long, very, very long. A lot of things went down this week, and it was wild. It was like Rock and Roller Coaster was down for a lot of the day. Because I had friends I hooked up with who they wanted to ride it and couldn't. Star Tours was down. They had Great Movie Ride was down at times. So I don't know what was going on. I think Stitch was riding the rides and wreaking havoc. But for the most part, it was really great. It was a beautiful day and great to hook up with some folks. And wish I could get down there a little bit more to hook up with friends. But I happened to be there that one day when they were there. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Nothing like a little Titanic memorabilia before the podcast cruise to get you in the mood, I guess.
Right. Right. Yeah. Kate Winslet's dress. So, yep.
Oh,
there you
awesome.
Go. It was really cool. And Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, I think, was another one that had some things there. So, yeah, it was very, very cool.
All right. Well, sounds great. And can't wait to check that out because I heard a little bit about that this past week on Webway Now that they do have a little bit of a, like you said, the gentleman from TCM gives a little commentary even during the ride. So,
yes.
Excited to hear that.
It's very good.
Cool.
It was very well done.
Good deal. It's excited to bring that back because that was the number one attraction at the studios back in the day. And it's glad to see that it's getting a little love. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be something new. I mean, of course, we do need new things, but it's good when they go back and give those classic attractions the attention they deserve. So I'm glad to hear.
Exactly. It was very impressive. I was very pleased with it.
All right. Let's get the list of questions. First one comes from Julie Banwart, who we'll be seeing in 30 days down on the podcast cruise very, very soon. And she says, hi, BOGP crew. Thank you for answering my question a couple months back about Animal Kingdom Lodge and Easter activities. We are back and had a great trip, and I thought I would share some highlights with you all. This was our first day at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I was a little concerned about transportation. It turned out not to be bad at all and was very comparable to the other resorts we've stayed at. The average wait for a bus was 5 to 10 minutes, and the distance to the parks was a non-issue for us. It was very nice not having to share a bus with any other resorts, just Kidani Village. Most of the time, the buses were not crowded at all, just the early morning buses seemed to be crowded, and I think that's the norm for all the resorts. Also, in regards to Animal Kingdom Lodge, I will not hesitate to stay there again in the future. It is my new favorite resort, even over Beach Club. It was nice to have two pools to choose from, one at Jumbo House and the other at Kidani. My kids prefer the Kidani Village pool, but both were thoroughly enjoyable. Overall, the view from the balconies cannot be beat by any other Walt Disney World resort. I never tired of seeing giraffes, zebras, wildebeest, etc. right outside our door. Even out in the hallways, it was always fun to see what animals we could spy walking to and from the room. One note about our room. We booked a standard view room. I wasn't really sure what we would get with this room type, possibly a view of the parking lot or a partial savanna view or potentially a pool view. Of course, I really wanted a Savannah view, but only wanted to pay for a standard view room. And to further, that's me. And to further complicate things, my kids wanted a bunk bedroom, another upcharge I was not willing to pay for. When we checked in, the cast member informed us that we had a room with a Savannah view and it was very close to the lobby, so I was a happy camper with that. But being the good mother I am, I asked about the bunk beds. In the back of my mind, I was concerned that if we upgraded to bunk beds, our view may be downgraded, but nonetheless, I wanted to suffice the kids. Well, after about 5 minutes, the cast member came back and said he did have a bunk bedroom, but it was much further away from the lobby. Okay, but how about the view? He assured me that we had a much nicer view in this room. Okay, we'll take it. And sure enough, I think we received a much better room. The kids were happy with their bunk beds. My mom and I were extremely happy with the view. So moral of the story, always ask at check-in. You just never know what you may get. And remember, this was over the busy Easter spring break season. On Easter Day, we were at Hollywood Studios at Rope Drop and the crowds were very manageable. Even when we left around 2:30, it did not seem to be that crowded. Later that night, we headed to Downtown Disney. Big mistake. It was wall-to-wall people. We were just looking to do some shopping and maybe grab a bite to eat, but after about 15 minutes, we were done. We grabbed a couple of t-shirts from the World of Disney and headed back to the bus stop. Lesson learned. Don't visit Downtown Disney on a busy holiday weekend evening. Even though we went during the busy Easter spring break time period, we had no problem doing the attractions we wanted to do, thanks to a lot of pre-planning. I used touring plans to create customized plans, and these worked out great. We even had time to do some of the less popular attractions that we've never taken time to do. Two of these attractions I'd like to mention are Ellen's Universe of Energy and the Liberty Square Riverboat. Ellen's Universe of Energy reminded me of the original Edutainment Epcot attractions, so if you like this type of attraction, I would highly recommend this. Even my 2 7-year-olds really liked it. As for the Liberty Square Riverboat, I wasn't expecting much out of it, and really only did it because my son wanted to do it. And to my surprise, I loved it and will now consider it a must-do for us. What I loved most about it was the unique viewing perspectives you can get while riding it. I took some of my best vacation photos while on this attraction, and again, the kids loved it. It just goes to show that even some of the less popular attractions can be hidden gems at Disney. I could go on and on about how great our trip was, but I will spare you all. As with all Walt Disney World trips, I was sad to see it go, but I look forward to planning our next trip, hopefully sooner rather than later. And it was great knowing I have the BOGP cruise to look forward to in a few short months. Until then, keep up the great work, and I'll see you real soon. And Julie is in North Liberty, Indiana. So, Very nice. I mean, what do you think, Debbie? I mean, she has lots of great points about Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, being down there over Easter. I mean, it sounds like she had a really great trip.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like she had a magical time. And what was so cool was that the cast member, again, as always, they really do try to make magic. And it sounded like that cast member really did try to do everything. And she had quite a few, checklists that she wanted to mark off, and it seemed like they really met her goals. So I think that is wonderful. It sounds like she had a great time, and I look forward to her coming back and having more experiences that way.
I look forward to talking to her more about the trip over pizza on the Disney Dream here in 30 days. That's what
I'm
looking forward to. And I know Mallory's looking forward to meeting her kids too, because they're the same age. So
perfect.
It's going to be fun. Ricky, what did you think about her thoughts? I mean, because, you know, busy time, but it sounds like, you know, like you said, the key word was pre-planning. That kind of took care of everything.
Absolutely. I think it sounded like a magnificent vacation. So, they did fantastic. I'm glad that it worked out for the room. Like you said, you never know what can happen. And all you got to do is sometimes just ask. So, yeah, I think that she had a magical vacation. And I'm so glad that she shared her story with us.
And I'm so like her. Like, I would have been, you know, it's like that old game show, Press Your Luck, when she was asking about the bunk beds. Like, okay, I can get in bunk beds, but am I like, you know, am I going to get whammied on the Savannah view? That's how
no whammy, stop!
But I'm like, oh, bunk beds, but now I'm looking at the parking lot. Oh, I hope you enjoy those bunk beds, kids, because I don't get to see zebras. Yeah. So anyway, lots of fun. Thanks for the great, I love mini trip reports like that. That's a great way to get your trip out there. Everybody can enjoy it, because I could totally picture Animal Kingdom Lodge. Going to stay there a couple days after the cruise. I cannot wait. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. All right, next question or email comes from Mike Leone, who's in Canterbury, Connecticut. My great friend, he goes by Disney DJ Mike on Twitter. So give him a follow at Disney DJ Mike. He says, hello, Mike and the ladies. I have a quick question. will be visiting the world July 1 through 4, staying for the 4 days at French Quarter. On our down days, we plan to do the resort monorail tour. We will not be going into a park that day. We want to finish our day at the Polynesian having dinner at the Kona Cafe. You guys have sold me on it. We want to view the July 3rd fireworks from the Poly Beach. Is that still possible, or did I hear they were charging for that now, some sort of dessert party? I have a feeling you've answered this before, but as it didn't pertain to me, I didn't listen very well. I love what you guys do, and you are by far my number one Disney podcast. I will wear some BOGP swag down there and hope to see you, other BOGP peeps. Keep doing what you do because you guys rock. Thanks again, Mike. All right, let me tell you, Mike, first of all, I made a mistake on my personal reservation because we're going down the week before the podcast cruise, and I didn't make a reservation for our first night that we're going to be there on July 3rd, so I can't get the view. So we're staying at French Quarter on my first night for one night room only, so I may see you over at French Quarter on that night and then move into Riverside. So we'll be neighbors over at French Quarter. Ricky, I think you can still go see the fireworks at the Polynesian Beach, especially if you're going to have dinner at Kona. I think you're totally fine,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, as long, I mean, I think it sometimes varies by year and what's going on. I think last year was probably a little more difficult because they had, you know, part of the beach closed because of the construction. And I think now that everything is calming down a little bit at the Polynesian, I think that it's going to be completely different again this year. So, I mean, obviously things can change. But as far as I know, they should be able to be fine and see the fireworks from the Polynesian Beach. It does help that they have a reservation at Kona, so that way they are for sure allowed to be able to be there. There, I haven't heard anything about a dessert party, so that's good news. And the only thing I've heard is that I think that they were checking Magic Bands. I don't know if that was just something that I read that wasn't exactly true, but that was last year, maybe, and I think it was, again, because of the fact that the Polynesian Beach was, you know, in such disrepair at the moment. So, but yeah, they should be fine, I would assume. I don't think that there's likely going to be any trouble. So, well,
plus
go watch the fireworks!
He's doing like a monorail crawl, which is, you know, because the best thing is that, you know, you got two things working for you. One, you're not driving into the resort, because on July 3rd, it's going to be a nut house, people trying to get to that beach, and it's going to be mostly people trying to drive in to park at the Polynesian. Well, you're coming in by the monorail, so they, you know, they don't monitor that. You're good there. And like Ricky said, right, with the Kona ADR, you have business being there. You have your dinner and you just walk out. I mean, you know, they can't distinguish you from a hotel guest, really. You know, I mean,
absolutely,
unless they're really cranked down, but I don't see that happening. I think you'll be fine, Mike. All right, next question comes from Shante, and she is in Westerville, Ohio. She says, hi, guys. I'm aching to take our daughter on a Disney cruise. I love cruising, but my husband, who is a Navy war veteran, refuses to board a cruise ship. Could you guys give me a few tips on cruising solo with a 5 to 6 year old? Have you guys seen any single moms on the podcast cruise? As always, thank you for such a great show that gives me my Disney fix all year long. All right, so I'm trying to think. So we've had two podcast cruises. Again, the next one's coming up here in a month, exactly 30 days. Single moms on the podcast cruise. I'm just trying to think. I mean, I know of a few, but their kids are a little bit older than 5 or 6 that I can think of. We had Jill, but she had her parents with us. I'm just trying to think. I mean, Ricky, what would you offer? So by the ones, because I say you could totally do it. I mean, because you're going to have fun with your kid. Your kid might want to go to the kids club, and you could enjoy like rainforest room and adult activities. I mean, I think it'd be totally fine. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right. I think that, you know, if your kid wants to go to, you know, do the clubs and stuff like that, that's great. Obviously, you know, Mike, you know, Mallory wasn't super into them. I don't know if she will be this year.
But that's all she's talking about now. She's like, I can't wait to go to the clubs. I'm like, yeah.
Really?
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Go, Mike. You know, after all this time. Oh, my gosh.
Finally.
No, we could not get this kid into the kids clubs. Like, Mike was like, don't you want to go? No.
Oh, I'm so pumped. She better go. And yeah, she wants to do the aqueduct this year. She's never done the aqueduct, so.
Ah, very good. So, big changes for Mallory. But yeah, so, I mean, hopefully they'll want to go and, you know, enjoy the kid clubs, and then that way you can, you know, do some stuff in maybe the adult areas if you'd like to. But I think overall they have stuff for entire families to do, and I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think that if you want to go do some of the game shows or, you know, learn to draw characters or whatever, there's always something going on the ship that families can go to. So, you know, even if they don't want to go to the kids club, I think you'll be fine. You'll have a great time. You'll enjoy it. And, I mean, you know, Mike, you guys hung out with Mallory the whole time. So I think overall, maybe Pam might not have enjoyed that so much, but overall, you know, you guys managed pretty well. So, but yeah, I think, although I think sometimes you did send her off with, Hannah and Paige. But,
yes. Yeah. Go see Aunt Ricky, Mallory, for a couple
yeah,
hours.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but bother Aunt Ricky.
I will say that and this is in cruising in general, not just Disney Cruise Line, but I've noticed it more with Disney, is that a lot of times, you know, if it's like you and your daughter, that you're going to make fast friends with somebody on the cruise usually early on, where maybe you spend some time with them. Like, we've done that with people that we didn't know that were like our table mates at dinner, because typically they try to pair you off with people that are, you know, have something in common. Like, they have kids as well, or maybe they're single travelers as well with kids. And so the kids kind of hit it off. And so kind of by happenstance, you get to hang out with the other parent and, you know, maybe just talk and hang out and maybe go to a movie. You know, we've done that. Like, we did our spring break cruise down out of Miami on the Wonder 1 year. And, you know, it was another family with a girl Mallory's age. And we, you know, the girls wanted to swim together. So we, you know, sat next to the pool and talked, and we had a lot in common. You know, the one guy was a teacher. And, you know, I think that happens a lot more than you'd expect on cruising. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be like a solo cruise all the time. You know, if you're somewhat social, I think you're going to meet people and have folks to hang out with at a lot of events on the cruise, you know, early on, I think. I don't know. We'll see. That's just me. All right. This is good luck, Shante. Hope you get to go on that cruise. Let us know how it goes. Next email comes from Christopher McManus down in Paducah, Kentucky, 3 hours into my drive to Florida. Exactly. We stop at the Cheers right off of 75 in Paducah every time to get gas. Dear Mike and the lovely ladies of the BOGP podcast. How's that?
Whoa, what a sweetie pie.
It's buttering you guys up. All right. First off, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and your podcasts have sustained me for many miles as I fly and drive a lot with my work. It is always comforting to hear all of your voices and discuss the thing that I am passionate about, Disney parks and vacations. It helps melt the miles away and offers a release from the constant traveling I perform. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that you take us on the road. My family and I will be going to Disneyland in California for this upcoming October 2015 to celebrate Disneyland's 60th anniversary celebration and also partake in their Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party during my wife, who's a teacher, and kids' fall break. We are avid Walt Disney World travelers, approximately one trip per year, and have opted to visit Disneyland this year due to all of the recent construction going on at Walt Disney World. We figured that this was a great opportunity to visit the place where it all started, and what better time than now? For me, this will be my first time back to Disneyland since the late 90s, and for the rest of my family, which includes my wife, two kids, 10 and 5, and father and his wife, this will be their first time ever in California. We are extremely excited to visit, and I want to capture all the details as I do not know when we will be back to Disneyland in the future. So here's my question. I know that Walt Disney World has the Memory Maker for all meet and greets, attraction photos, and character dining, which, from what I have heard, is a very good deal. I was wondering if Disneyland and California Adventure offers the same type of Memory Maker, what the price point is, and where do you make the purchase? While planning last year, I believe I saw it as an option on the Disneyland website, but have not seen it since. I have been scouring the internet for an answer and have only been able to find information on the Disney PhotoPass Plus option. Is this Disneyland's option for the Memory Maker, or am I just looking in the wrong place? I was under the impression that all of Disney's photo passes were swapping over to a variation of Memory Maker, or was this just with Walt Disney World? All answers and suggestions are greatly appreciated. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Keep up the great job on the podcast. We enjoy it immensely. All right. Thanks so much, Chris. Really appreciate the kind words. That means a ton to us. Ricky, what do you know about Memory Maker or just photo services out of Disneyland in general? Because, you know, I haven't been there, so I'm not really up on that.
Yeah. So it's different at Disneyland. And I believe that they don't, I could be wrong, but I believe they don't do Memory Maker yet.
Because I think Memory Maker is the component, like, because it used to be, sorry to interrupt, but, you know, like, PhotoPass Plus was kind of pre-Magic Bands and My Disney Experience.
Yes.
And then when that came online more robustly, it kind of turned into what was called Memory Maker, which is definitely tied into the newer technology with Magic Bands, with the profiles. So I think that's the difference between PhotoPass Plus and Memory Maker. That's kind of like the delineation of when it changed. And so what I would say, you know, Disneyland doesn't have that yet. They probably will at some point, but I doubt before October. So I don't think they have a Memory Maker. Now, they do have a PhotoPass Plus, though. They do have a way to capture your memories and buy your pictures, I'm sure of.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They definitely have that. But yeah, they don't have Memory Maker, but I believe they do still have PhotoPass Plus, or at least PhotoPass in general. Because I know, because we used the PhotoPass photographers when we went down there a couple years ago, but... They don't have Memory Maker, that particular package.
So Debbie, you go out west a lot. You know, what do you know about the other photo capturing services? Not Memory Maker, but maybe PhotoPass Plus. Anything to offer to Chris here?
I just know about the Disney PhotoPass Plus because it does have the photos, of course, the attraction photos, dining photos, and you do get a CD, of course. It is very simple, just to do the purchasing. But as far as the Memory Maker, no, I think that's part of the rollout of the Magic Bands, like y'all were talking about. That will probably be up and coming.
So what we'll do is we'll put this up, Ricky, don't let me forget here. This morning I'll put up on the Facebook group to see, because we have a lot of folks that listen out in California and that, you know, frequent the Disneyland park, their best advice. Because again, this sounds like it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip for them. They want to get their best value and get as many of those pictures as possible, which I'm totally with Chris on this. Great, great idea. So we'll put that on the Facebook group and get some suggestions from folks that frequent Disneyland. All right.
Absolutely.
Next. All right. Don't let me forget. Next question. And we're getting through them here. I love this. Comes from David Poole, and he's over in the, he says, first timers to Walt Disney World from the UK. Hi, Mike. My wife, 9-year-old daughter, and I are from the UK. We are going on a holiday of a lifetime to Disney World, Universal, and SeaWorld for 2 weeks at the beginning of August. We're traveling with Virgin Atlantic, and we're staying at Virgin Club Apartments, Lake Buena Vista Resort. We are all a little scared as it's the first time out of England and even on an airplane for us all. Virgin Holidays says it is the best place that we can stay for all three attractions, but we'd really like your advice on what to do and what not to do for first-timers like us. And questions answered like, how much spending money do we need for 2 weeks? Should we use the shuttle bus, taxis, or hire a car for that resort? And anything else you think we should know to make it special, as after a death in our family, we desperately need to make some happy memories. Thank you all in advance for your help. Loving your podcast. Regards, David. Okay, David, first of all, you know, sympathies for what happened in your family. I know that's a tough thing. I've had the same, and we've, you know, had a lot here happen with ours, too, lately. So we're with you there and hope this is the best trip ever. I did hear that another show that I listened to, you know, addressed your resort stay. So it sounds like that's going to be a nice thing, and it's kind of centrally located to the three destinations, Universal, SeaWorld, and Walt Disney World. So let's kind of talk about things for first-timers to do to make sure that this is a... you know, a trip that is as magical as possible. And it kind of gets back to Julie's email for my first piece of advice is pre-plan. You know, you're going to be there in August, especially the beginning of August. Schools are just like the crowds in Florida are just starting to wane a little bit because in the southern United States and in the Midwest where I live, teachers do go back to school about the second week of August and the kids go back about the third week. So you will still have summertime crowds, not probably as big as like June and July, but they'll still be big. It'll be very hot, so be expecting hot weather. Man, as far as spending money, because you ask that, that's so wide open because it depends, you know, like, are you going to have a table service meal every day? Are you going to have a table service meal every other day? You know, or, you know, you're coming from the UK, so I'd want to bring home some souvenirs.
Do you want to bring home a lot of souvenirs, or are you going to be stopping at the outlet malls for anything? Because I know, like, Nikki loves to stop at the outlet malls, so, you know, I don't know. She likes to bring home a lot of stuff with her, though, so, she's got a different budget than I think anybody else would have, but...
Because when you come from outside the country, a lot of times you want to buy some high-end items, too, you know, just because maybe they're not available back home, so that's a tough one. As far as, like, getting around... The shuttle buses, I will say, you know, those, they are normally offered by almost every hotel, but it could be once or twice a day. So it's kind of like time and money. So if you want to, you know, if you know you're going to be there from open to close and you want to take the, you know, the hotel's shuttle bus, you know, you could do that. But of course, you'll have more flexibility with a car.
You know, and I think this far out, you can get a good deal on a car still at some point if you just, you know, take a compact or something cheap. Or you could just use taxis, you know, that way you don't have to stress out about getting around in another country, especially considering you've never been on an airplane. Taxi might be your best way, you know, because it's kind of a nice middle ground. You can do it whenever you like.
Taxi or if they want a chance at Uber.
Yeah, Uber might get you. So, Debbie, hearing David's situation here, you know, first time outside of the UK, first time on an airplane, going down for 2 weeks. Yeah. Want to make the most of it. What are you going to help? How are you going to help David here?
Well, the first thing I would do is very similar to what you were saying. Don't expect to see it all. Really do some planning. I always suggest to anybody who's going to be there for the first time, pick the top of all the parks that you're going to go to, pick the top three rides that you've got to see at each of the parks. So therefore, you're not running around all over the place. And then when you get home, you're like, oh, rats, I wish you would have done It's a Small World. So always write like your top three down that are must-dos for each park. And then I always suggest for people to write down a second set, like five, four, five, and six, of you would like to see those if you could. So therefore, at least you know exactly what your goal is, and that is to see these particular rides or attractions. Regarding the monies, that is an open-ended question. It could be anything, but do remember that oftentimes, and I'm not sure with the UK, but I don't see why they couldn't. They might. Oftentimes, like if you see different items, like at the Emporium at Magic Kingdom or at Mouse Gear at Epcot, is that if you like of several things, or even the World of Disney at the Downtown Disney Springs area, what I would recommend is shipping things home. Therefore, you're not having to worry about packing it. And so you can actually collect all your little goodies, and then they can actually ship it. And I believe that they can ship overseas. Is that true?
I'm sure they can for a price.
Yeah, it'll be a price.
Anything for a price, yeah.
But it might be cheaper than for you to have to worry about packing it and going through that exercise. I've been through that before where I found out I bought way too much than my suitcases handled. That was not a magical experience. So another thing that I would highly recommend, if it comes to cars, and it depends on how many days you're going to do at the park, think about maybe getting an annual pass. If you're really going to be in the parks a lot more, see the price difference. Because if you think about it, you're going to be renting a car most likely if you're going to really get to the parks. If that's your suggestion, you've got to pay for parking.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's going to be ka-ching, ka-ching, like what, 15, 17 bucks a pop? Because I don't pay for parking, my annual pass holder. But when I pulled up, they said, oh, that'll be $17. And I looked at her like she just grew a third eye. I said, no, I'm an annual pass holder. I handed her my pass and she's like, oh, never mind, have fun. So you're going to have to pay for parking, and it is not cheap at Disney.
Good point. Yeah, good points all around there, especially with the parking, because that's just going up and up and up. So
it definitely is. You know. And we do have 17 or whatever times a day. That's going to be quite a bit. So we can weigh the balances of having an annual pass and see if that would work for everybody.
And one other thing I would throw in is if you're going to be there for 2 weeks, and this is just me, but and I don't know what your interests are, but consider a trip over to the Space Coast if you have a car. If you do rent a car, it's 45 minutes. Go over to Kennedy Space Center, do a tour there, see Space Shuttle Atlantis, go to Cocoa Beach, see Ron John Surf Shop. You know, it's just that's kind of like the quintessential American experience. So, you know, you have 2 weeks. I would say give a day to that. Go to the beach, dip your toes in the warm water. So, Ricky, wrap it up for David. What do you think he needs to consider?
You know, really, just watch out for like you kind of said, watch out for the weather. It's going to be August is... You said it. It's hot. And I know that they're not – I mean, obviously, they're staying off property. So, you know, going back to the hotel is not necessarily something that's easy to do. So just make sure you go into the air-conditioned attractions in the middle of the afternoon if you don't want to take a break, which I don't blame you if you don't. That way you get as much done as possible while you're on vacation. And know that the Florida rainstorms are going to come, so make sure you pack an umbrella or ponchos or something like that, so that way you're prepared for that, because it will happen. And, you know, yeah, I think that, like Debbie said, the money thing, I really don't know, because it's such a personal thing. You know, what Brian and I take down is much less than what, you know, some other people take down, people who go down for, you know, vacations once a year or once every couple years. So, you know, that's totally hard to guesstimate. And like I said before, I would maybe consider Uber or a taxi to get around. I certainly would not go off of the shuttles for the hotel. Those are so difficult to, a lot of times, to plan. And like you said, they are oftentimes on a set schedule. So the last bus may be at, say, you know, for the Magic Kingdom, may be at like 10 o'clock at night, and the park, you know, closes at 10. And you're like, well, I don't want to leave the park early, but there's no other bus to come get you. This is the last one. So that's something to consider as well. You don't know. You know, I would either rent a car, or if that's just totally out, taxi or Uber. I certainly wouldn't do the shuttle. That's just me.
Well, and if you do the shuttle, ask them, like Ricky was just mentioning, about how often do they pick you up, but also how many stops do you make in between your hotel and the parks? Because this is years ago, I stayed off property, and holy cannolis, I swear it was just 2 minutes. 2 minutes or 2 miles from the main gates of Disney. It took us over an hour because they would stop it. They would pull up to the little hotel right next to it. They stop. People would get on. They'd get everybody situated. Then they'd drive it. I mean, I swear, just a few yards, they'd stop. More people got on. And then trying to get all those people from all those hotels at the end of the evening trying to get on the bus. And it had been raining, so we were wet. A lot of times people were standing, and you had an hour to an hour and a half to get back to your hotel. It was not fun.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, if you want to give it a shot once, see what happens, you know, because with 2 weeks, you know, but then because you could definitely just hire a taxi the next day or get a, you know, but the car rental, you probably want to look at ahead of time. But remember, we drive on the right side of the road here in the States.
Right. So
Some people do decide to ride in the middle of the road.
That's it. We drive all over the road here in the United States, actually.
We pay our taxes or our roads.
That's it. Heads up. Well, we hope you guys have a great trip, because it sounds like you really need it. And, I really hope that you guys, you know, enjoy that airplane ride over. And it's magical from the time you leave the UK till the time you return home. So good luck with that. And, of course, let us know how it goes. Send us an email when you get back. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget today's episode of the show brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. And check this out, everybody. I'm looking at my app right now. We are 30 days to go until the podcast cruise 3-0. That means I get to leave in 22 days for Florida. Oh, I've just been, this app, you know, these apps are so cheap, but it's a couple bucks. And the thing is, I'm wearing this app out, especially like the last, you know, month or so, because this is the one I look at all the time. Like, ooh, you know, like I look at it today, 30. So I know tomorrow we're in the 20s. You know, it's like, oh man, but I'm telling you, this is the worst time. I just want to get down there. But you need to get excited just like this for your next Disney vacation and support the folks who support us, because they help us keep this show rolling, especially make it possible to do your listener questions here on a Wednesday. So drop by today, make your device a Disney device, and go buy virtualmickey.com. Again, the big thing is Sunday, the big Be Our Guest podcast 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World Village. Put it everywhere. You know what? If you got to do graffiti on the overpass in your city, do that today. Grab a big can of Rust-Oleum and put MagicalMouseRadio.com right there on the overpass so that everybody tunes in on Sunday from 10 to 10 Eastern. We're going to make magic. We're going to make so much magic that it's going to hurt. It's going to be amazing. I have no doubt. Lots of great prizes, lots of great guests, but most importantly, you are going to be a part of the show, and we're going to get together and really show everybody what this podcast community is made of. So again, join us this Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern till 10 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 10, MagicalMouseRadio.com. All the details at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And when you need your Disney fix between here and there, drop by Magical Mouse Radio for the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there, MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back together on Friday with a new show topic. We've never done this one before. It might be awesome, but likely it could be terrible. But either way, we're going to give it a shot to have some fun, because we may be able to carry this over into the 12-hour live show on Sunday. We'll see. That's how we do the shows before the live shows. So until we get together on Friday, for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.